drawing back on the years once again, I want to begin with a word from Lyle Schaller, who a couple decades ago was the guru of church growth in the major denominations of the country. Ron Hamilton and Norma, Ron, who preached last Sunday, knew Lyle Schaller and had worked with him. I attended a workshop that he did on materials for youth groups and such, and this is something that Lyle Schaller said. Again, in his day, the guru on church growth said this: what churches are growing? Those where there is a note of hope. He said where the focus is on denominations or pastors or points on the theological spectrum, there is not growth. But where there is a note of hope, there is growth. I would hope that in our encounter with God and with God's people together, that we understand God being with us and giving us a sense of hope. I'm going to draw today from an illustration that's a little bit difficult to hear. It's from the words of Howard Rutledge, who was a prisoner of war, who wrote in his book, In the Presence of Mine Enemies, the following. And at first I decided not to share that because it's a bit harsh, but then I remembered my audience here in this church. And I remember that on Veterans Day, when we celebrate those who have served this country in military service, the numbers of folks. Before I begin my story, in just a tribute to prisoners of war, let me just ask that anyone in the congregation who has served in military service, will you please stand? And without saying a word, just a moment of prayer. Lord, for these who have served, and for anyone who has known of a veteran, a military person being lost in service, we simply pray for those people and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you please be seated? Lyle Schaller said we need a note of hope. Howard Rutledge, in his story, shared this. He was a pilot during the Vietnam War, and his plane was shot down. He parachuted and landed in a village where he was immediately attacked, stripped, and imprisoned. He was a prisoner of war for 7 years. He said, he wrote, in the course of those 7 years, there was constant torture, lack of food, often eating rotting soup with a hunk of pig fat in it for his meal, being confined, sometimes shackled in very excruciating, painful positions and left that way for days. He wrote about his conditions, and that's all I'll say about it, other than if you want to read that, you can see what those poor people went through. But Howard Rutledge was a boy from Tulsa, Oklahoma, grew up in church, where he says he didn't pay much attention to sermons or the scripture reading. But then he found himself in confinement and in isolation and in cold and in the worst of treatment that any humans can do to other humans. But he said this: he had hope because he knew his Lord. And every day for those 7 years, he'd wake up early and do his best to clean himself up. He would spend time in devotions and in thinking of scripture and in humming quietly or silently the hymns that he could remember. And then he would force himself to think about what he just heard in his own message and to think, now, how does that scripture apply to me today? Or how did that hymn impact me? And he said this: when I had the opportunity to read scripture, to sing the hymns, I didn't. So there in captivity, he and the other prisoners of war would communicate with one another what they could remember of scripture. And he said that over those 7 years, he was able to pull together quite a bit. And he was also ministered to by the hymns that they sang in church as a boy growing up. And he, in his frustration, not remembering them, sometimes over the course of the years, the hymns would come to mind. One day after a rain and the sun came up, he remembered the hymn, Heavenly Sunshine. And he kept that as part of his musical repertoire in his head that he would go over. And he shared sadly that many of the prisoners of war gave up and simply went into a fetal position and died. But he said that he was sustained by hope. The scriptures, the hymns, would keep him going. And in spite of those horrible conditions, that when he was finally released, he left there with his head up and joyful for the presence of God. Our scripture teaches us about hope. And maybe none of us will find ourselves ever in a situation like that. And perhaps you know people who did. But life brings no guarantee. Scripture reminds us that God is with us in this lifetime on planet Earth, where there is pain, suffering, along with joy and hope. And it is in trusting God that we are able to get through those hard times and to celebrate more the joyous times. We think about Jesus in this passage that I read. I probably should have given you a little more information about it ahead of time. But Jesus, in beginning his ministry, went to his hometown, where one would think one would get support and encouragement about beginning his ministry and new interaction with people, but instead he was not met with support. Early on in Jesus' ministry, and let me just take you back, we know of his baptism, where he begins his ministry, his temptation in the wilderness, and then he begins with his time in Nazareth. And in Nazareth, and I shared with you in the last sermon, he read a scroll that proclaimed about who he was, and he said this, basically said, "This is who I am. The scripture has been fulfilled this day." And they turned on him at that point. Why? Well, in the Gospel of Luke, it doesn't say much about Capernaum, but in Matthew and Mark, it talks about Jesus being in Capernaum before going to Nazareth, and that there were teachings and there were miracles, there were healings, and there were good things that happened. And in Capernaum, there were living many Gentiles, besides Jews, a Gentile being anyone who's not Jewish. So Jesus goes to his hometown. And there he is with the folks in Nazareth who are Jewish. And their attitude is this: we are Jewish. We are better than the Gentiles. And if Jesus did good things and miracles and brought prosperity to those in Capernaum, how much more will he bring to us? And their expectation was that if Jesus were this great person and could do things, that they would be the benefactors. And then Jesus proclaiming himself, the fulfillment of Scripture, and the Messiah, then they were angry because their idea of the Messiah was a general riding in on a white horse who would deal with the oppressive Romans and replace the Romans with themselves, that they themselves could be the oppressors of others and in the seat of authority. Jesus taught them something different. He taught them about God's love and hope and the change that takes place in one's life. That to bring about change in the world, it's not through the advancement of an army, but the winning of one soul at a time and the understanding of the presence of God. I want to say just a couple things more about, in addition to that, about our church and the opportunities we have. Like Howard Rutledge, who said, I really didn't take advantage of the church growing up. I think when we sing hymns, we ought to look at the words, because the theology of the church is passed down from generation to generation through the singing of hymns and anthems. And like Bishop Kennedy's God of Love and God of Power, with the message that God has called us for this hour. And in the same way of hearing Scripture and being disciplined like Howard was, for us to read Scripture, for Howard to remember it, for us to contemplate about what it means, for Howard to think about daily, how does this speak to me here where I am? I'm very proud of this church in that whatever we do, I sense the presence of God with us. This church can pull off a rummage sale, and it is a holy experience. These grounds become holy grounds during a rummage sale or during a youthful senior dinner where there is fellowship and joy. Or in powwow, which is a lot of work, in setting up a food distribution in our parking lot, people are here early and they work at that event, and it is a holy moment. It is a holy experience of giving and serving and loving. I would hope that we would heed the words of Bishop Kennedy, who says that God has called us for this hour, of Howard Rutledge, who said, take advantage of opportunities to learn and to grow spiritually, to walk with the Lord. And like the words of Lyle Schaller, who teaches us to be a people of hope. In closing, I went to the hardware department at the rummage sale, and I heard them say, you can have a whole bag full of these treasures, these items, for $5. No, at first it was $5, and then it was $3, or 2 for $5, and it was like, Pastor, come here. We have a deal for you. Pastor, come here. 2 bags for $5. And I told Debbie, you know, as I told Debbie, go to the bank, get me money. Pastor needs to buy things at the rummage sale. So I stopped at hardware and I said, okay, I'm going to start off here with a bag, one of your 1 bag for $3. And I gave them a $5 bill and I never got any change back. So those folks in hardware, John Calhoun and Bill Murley and all the rest of you, handed me 2 bags. And I thought, okay, I can get 2 bags of things that I could use, I think, around. So I filled up 2 bags thinking, okay, I got 2 bags for $5. I've done pretty well. The next person in line, they said, here you go, 3 bags for $5. So when Bud Fletcher gives his report on how well the rummage sale did, now you know why. A rummage sale, a dinner, a work project, an outing, a service project, singing in the choir, attending a Bible study, being together in fellowship. The Lord is present. Let us take advantage of those opportunities to be with God's people, to be God's people, to be a note of hope to the world beyond the church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.